Chapter 12. Chanu buys a suitcase. Chanu's only project now was going back to Bangladesh. He drove his taxi for long hours, and when he returned, he was too tired to talk. Nazneen returned to her sewing and worked until she could hardly see. All the money she had secretly saved for her sister had gone, used up for the payments to Mrs. Islam. Nazneen was very careful not to open the door to her anymore. Twice now she had hidden while Mrs. Islam shouted outside. Nazneen worried about Karim, too, and wondered if Chanu knew what was going on. After her illness, Chanu had bought her one or two pretty gifts, but she had told him to take them back. He had found a Bengali love story and read to her in bed, but she told him to go back to his own books. One evening, he had seen that there was ice skating on television. He had called Nazneen over, but she had told him to turn it off. Ice skating used to make her dream of being free, but now all she saw was false smiles. Then one day, Chanu came home in the afternoon while Karim was still there. Luckily, Karim was just using the computer. "Hello," said Karim. He yawned and rubbed his eyes. "Hello." Chanu put his keys on the shelf. His trousers were too short, and his socks showed, one grey, one black. Karim yawned again. Nazneen wanted to scream. "Islamic website," he said. "Hope you don't mind."
"Why should I mind?" said Chanu.
Karim did not say anything. Chanu's face was serious.
"You know, when I was a young man like you, I wanted to work for the government. I thought everything I wanted was possible. But we don't see the other things that are possible when we are young. One day, you wake up and say to yourself, 'I didn't choose this.' But maybe you did."
"I know what I want," said Karim. He stared at Chanu, but Chanu seemed to have forgotten him.
"The thing about getting older," said Chanu, "is that you don't need everything to be possible anymore. You just need some things to be certain."
He picked up his keys and went out again. After that, Nazneen felt sure that Chanu knew, but he still said nothing. In fact, he became unusually quiet with everyone. At first, Shahana said, "Thank God he's quiet." After a week, she said, "Is he sick or something?" Finally, she said, "He's going to take us to Bangladesh, isn't he?" Then she went to her father and said, "Abba, how much money do you have now? Because I was thinking you could leave me and Bibi behind, then you wouldn't have to save as much." Chanu did not look up from his newspaper.
"Do you want me to beat you?"
"Yes!" Shahana screamed.
"Well, I won't," he said quietly. "And I won't leave you behind either."
A few weeks later, he bought a suitcase. He made no speech. He did not clear his throat. He did not talk about his plans for the Dhaka house or a home in the village. Nazneen thought, "It's going to happen. We're going to Bangladesh." And still, Nazneen and Karim continued seeing each other. "Why do you like me?" she asked Karim one afternoon. "I'm not beautiful. I'm not a young girl." "Well," said Karim, rolling onto his back, "you're not like the girls I meet. They're either too Western or too religious. You're the real thing, a girl from the village." He reminded her of Chanu, years ago, calling her an unspoiled girl from the village. Karim was getting out of bed. He had his back to her.
My husband is taking us to Dhaka, she said. He did not turn. At last, he spoke. My parents selected a girl for me. I rejected her for you. What can I do? She was crying. What do you want to do? She did not know. She was not the girl from the village anymore. Karim held her like a child. Don't be scared. Let your husband go. End your marriage. It's for the best. The next day, a leaflet came through the door. March against the mullahs. Karim picked it up. Yes, he said. Let them come. We'll be ready. Later, Chanu read the same leaflet. He studied it for some time. Then he went into the bedroom and closed the door. Not long afterwards, a boy was stabbed and badly injured in a fight on the estate. That was the only thing everyone agreed on. They argued about everything else. Some said the fight was between two groups of boys. Others said the boys were members of the same group. Some said it was about a girl. Others said it was about drugs, or money, or drugs and money. No one knew for sure. At the supermarket, Razia and Nazneen met two neighbours who were gossiping about the boy. He was stabbed in the chest. I hear he was using drugs. The woman looked at Razia as she spoke. Lots of boys are using drugs these days, she continued. The parents can't control them. They bring shame on the family. It's getting late. We'd better go, said Razia to Nazneen. They walked home without speaking. Nazneen suddenly realized that neither of the two neighbours had spoken to her. Did they know about Karim? Was everyone going to stop speaking to her? She wanted to ask Razia about it, but Razia did not look as if she wanted to talk. The march against the mullahs was planned for the 27th of October. The Lionheart's leaflets were everywhere, announcing how Islam was a religion of hate, murder, and violence. Karim was excited. They know nothing about Islam. If there's going to be any trouble at the march, we won't be the ones starting it, but we'll finish it all right. Nazneen saw little of Karim at this time. He was busy planning the march against the march against the mullahs. He had also become more serious about studying Islam and had even started wearing traditional Islamic clothes. When they did spend an hour or so together, Karim talked about getting married. Just a very small wedding, but very religious. It was so silly. But then Nazneen began to worry. If she stayed in the UK, would she have to marry Karim? How could she suddenly introduce the girls to a new father like that? If Chanu bought the tickets and told her to leave, would that end things? Or would Karim prevent her from going? What if going home was still just another one of Chanu's projects? She reminded herself of Amma's advice to wait and see. But, for the first time, this did not seem right. Why should she wait? Suddenly, she was filled with anger. I will decide what to do. I will say what happens to me, she thought. But what would she decide? What did she want? It would be the right thing to go to Dhaka with her husband and her children, and she would be with Hasina again. But the children would be terribly unhappy. And what if Chanu's dreams failed to happen in Dhaka? How would they live? Perhaps it would be better to stay here and help Hasina by sending money. Maybe even bring her over here. But if Chanu went alone, then what? Would she marry Karim? Did she want to marry him? It would be difficult for the girls. Her mind went in circles and would not stop.